Today marks the one-year anniversary of Detroit's exit from bankruptcy. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howe sees a city on the mend with some pretty heavy lifting ahead. Daniel, if you were a professor handing out grades, how would you grade what's been done over the past year?
Oh, boy. I think I would probably be looking at an A-.
Wow.
I'm very impressed with the execution of the government under Mike Duggan and city council, the stability in the police department. They've recently come back with, as we I think know, that they are offering raises to the police officers, in part because they're having some trouble recruiting people. And I think the business community continues to stand behind Detroit, to stand behind what they believe is a smart investment. Since January of 2013, there's been over $3.5 billion invested in the city of Detroit of private capital, which is remarkable considering where we were not too many years ago.
When you think that the great coming together, and as you, I love the way you put it, it helped. It was all helped by the muscle of federal court, but we saw so much coming together that nobody really expected to happen.
That's right, and I think that really is owing to a confluence of not only events but people. I think you had a governor who was in Rick Snyder, who didn't really act like a Republican, was more pragmatic and just kind of wanted to deal with the problem. You had a mayor who got improbably elected in Mike Duggan, who in a lot of ways doesn't act like a typical Michigan Democrat and is very pragmatic and problem-solving oriented. Certainly Chief Judge Gerald Rosen, who is the chief mediator in the case, appointed by Stephen Rhodes. A very unique process. And at the beginning of that, I can remember there were experts in bankruptcy who quoted around the country sneering at the concept of mediation in Detroit. I mean, that's one of those things that just those two concepts do not go together, Detroit and mediation. And in fact, they proved it not only could be effective, but in essentially record time. We had a consensual deal, and now here we are a year later. Now, there certainly are people who individually are not happy and still think that it was a sham. I think they are whistling past the graveyard financially when it comes to the situation that Detroit was actually in. But nevertheless, we're on the other side of this.
And as you spell out in your column, there are a lot of things on the front burner, the M1 rail project, the new Wings Arena and all that development, more destination retail downtown, which really has been sorely missing. But you also spell out some major challenges. Let's look at those, starting with neighborhoods that are not downtown, midtown or Corktown. What do you see?
This is a process. And I think one of the things that people, I think, got a false sense of promise, actually, that once we went through the bankruptcy, everything was going to be magically fixed. This city had been declining for more than 50 years. And certainly neighborhoods still have major issues with crime. They have issues with garbage pickup. They have issues with lighting. They have issues with blight. They've done about, in the last 2 years, about 7,400 rough number houses have been demolished, but that's in a housing stock of anywhere between 70 and 80,000 abandoned structures in the city of Detroit, most of which are residential homes, but there's also commercial buildings. So there's a lot farther to go. But you're starting to see certain development coming into some of these neighborhoods, new developments, new retail developments, but it's going to take time. And I think what's interesting is the leadership, both business and political, understand that that is a real issue. That one of the underlying concerns that Detroiters have is that longtime Detroiters maybe are going to get left behind a little bit by the gentrification happening in downtown, which you see if you come down there. It changes. It seems like every couple of weeks there's something new and some new restaurant.
You also make a good point that all of this, we certainly know that there's problems with Detroit Public Schools, that we see Governor Snyder trying to offer his plan. We don't think it's going to be clearing the legislature this year. Also high property taxes. But all of this depends on something they can't control, and that's forward economic momentum.
And the economy. You know, I think people need to remember, we have a short memories in this town. You know, it was only 6 years ago that General Motors and Chrysler were coming out of bankruptcy, and but for the intercession of the federal government, they would have collapsed. And Lord knows what would have happened, not only to Southeast Michigan, but to the industrial heartland of the country, where they have such a major footprint. But we're at the top of the economic cycle here. And these companies are probably going to close the year, maybe doing better and selling more cars than they've ever sold in history in a single year. That creates kind of a false sense of economic security. the car companies are not the biggest employers in Southeast Michigan anymore.
Right.
But how they do, I think, has a real emotional impact, and it kind of is an emotional gauge for Southeast Michigan and for the state. And at some point, this is going to settle back. And then we have to see how that's going to impact the business momentum, how that's going to impact how government continues to execute a restructuring plan that in a lot of cases, you remember the city council and the mayor, they influenced and had input in how that plan was put together. But ultimately, it was not their plan. So they're executing someone else's plan.
And as we saw last night at Wayne State University, there's still a lot of anger and tension in the community. There was that event that marked the one-year anniversary. The protesters shouted down Judge Stephen Rhodes. They actually cut the event off before Mayor Duggan was even able to speak.
Right.
What's it going to take, do you think, to settle this anger and this disappointment of those who just feel that the whole bankruptcy and its outcome killed them?
Results and time. I think it's really that simple. You know, if Detroit can continue to move forward, if it can get its arms around this absolute schools mess, which in a lot of ways is a lot uglier and harder to deal with than the bankruptcy of the city. I mean, they've certainly, officials have looked at, both at the state and at the local level, have looked at the possibility of taking DPS into Chapter 9 bankruptcy and have largely come to the conclusion that it probably is not the answer. So the question then becomes, what is the answer? And that's why you're seeing a lot of fumbling around in Lansing and in Detroit, and there's a lot of anger about that. But I really think that it's going to be time influenced and shaped by results, I guess is a better way to put it. I mean, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years from now, if we go into another recession, if we have some kind of economic calamity, a national economic calamity that's caused by some kind of geopolitical shock in the Middle East or with Iran or whatever, I think that could have a major impact. If, on the other hand, we're able to kind of muddle along and we can get things kind of smoothed out in the Middle East to some extent and get a little bit back to a status quo, we may be having this conversation in 5 or 6 years, and Detroit will have really have earned this moniker of being the comeback city. But it's a process. This is not something that happens overnight. It took a long time for Detroit to get there, and it's going to take time for it to climb out, and it's going to take a lot of private capital, and it's going to take government support, both rhetorically and otherwise, and people working together. One of the biggest things that we lack still in this community is cohesion, cohesion between business, local political leaders, state political leaders, and a lot of nonprofits. A lot of people have their own agendas, and they typically will prosecute those agendas in their own way.
Detroit News Business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.